Yes, it is Wednesday, May 25, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning to you if you're just tuning in. Unfortunately, Alex Di Minaur has gone out in the opening round overnight in the French Open at Roland Garros, and it was in five sets as well against Frenchman Hugo Gasteau. Beat him courtesy of a fifth set super tiebreak, 10-4. Di Minaur went down in that. What about this text? Traveling with the family for 12 weeks and find myself 2 hours from Penrith this weekend. Got the tribe tickets and off to see the Cowboys at Penrith. Big test, but go you, good things. Proof all through the league now what it means to have a top-tier halfback, says Brendan, who's from Ingham in North Queensland on a family trip through, well, I'm guessing probably from way up there in Queensland down to towards Sydney Town, and he's going to the footy in what should be a cracking game on Friday. It's the 6 o'clock game, the Cowboys up against the Panthers, Loz, which unfortunately the Cowboys have lost a couple of key players in Jason Taumalolo and also Kyle Felt as well. Both have knee issues out of the game against the Storm last week. The Panthers hot favourites, but still, these Cowboys, so you can't be writing them off the way they're playing at the moment.
No, you can't, and this is a good test for the Cowboys this weekend. What about this stat, though? They haven't played in Sydney this year, the Cowboys. And they haven't played since, obviously, last year. I think it was round 14 against Manly. So they've gone nearly a year without coming to Sydney and playing a game. Now, you've still got to win. You've still got to win wherever you play, but they've played in Townsville, Brisbane, Redcliffe, Darwin, and Canberra. So that's where they've played this season. So they haven't had to do as much travelling as they've had to do in the past. So that certainly helped them in terms of their recovery. So this will be a good test for the Cowboys. And they are doing it without a couple of experienced players in Taumalolo and Kyle Felt. I mean, if they were to beat Penrith this weekend, you'd sit back and take notice and say, you know what, they are. They are the real deal, Penrith, the Cowboys. Because when you knock off Penrith at Penrith, where they've had such a wonderful record lately, I think they've only lost one game in the last 22 or 23 or something at home, this is a good opportunity for the Cowboys to show everyone what they're capable of doing. So I've still got my reservations about the Cowboys. I still think they'll play finals. They'll definitely play finals the way they set the season up so far. I don't think they can win the competition, but I think they've built nicely. They've identified areas that they can improve in. They've done that. They've got a good group of young kids coming through. They've added some experience, and there's no reason why they can't make the finals and win a final or two. But we'll get a good indication of where they're at when they take on Penrith, because this is the most daunting trip you could face at the moment.
Gosh, Brendan, I'm just having a look where Ingham is, right up there north of Townsville. So on a 12-week road trip, it sounds like. So good on you anyway. I hope you enjoy the game there Friday night. Cookie, South's hooker, who I'm surprised is coming on the show this morning, considering, Loz, you had a good week against Cookie. You've beaten him on the tip and the Raiders. Everywhere.
I washed him. I owned him. Ouch.
Oh, no.
That's what they say.
Ouch.
I owned Cook last week.
Who was it? You got to respect my name. Was it Damien Lillard?
Yeah, Lillard. Yeah. You got to respect me. Respect my name.
Yeah.
So hopefully Cookie respects my name this week.
Cookie's next.
Hopefully a bit of respect will be shown here, Middo. But anyway, conduct the interview.
Morning, Cookie. How are you?
Good morning, mate. Laurie Daly, congratulations on last week, mate. Great tip, great value for everyone too.
Thank you very much, Damien. You know what I've always said about you, mate? You're very, very humble in defeat. And those words coming from you just, mean so much.
And you're so humble in victory too.
Well, I've had to get used to it this year at the moment.
Tell me what happened up there at Dubbo, Cookie.
I think we lost it in the first 20 minutes, to be honest. I think they just ran harder and tackled harder. And that's where they go so well. You know, they're not going to throw too much at you, the Raiders, but what they do is they do the physicality battle, and then off the back of that, they'll get some offloads, and their second phase footy is really good. So, mate, the players like Rapana, who had a great game, Kotrick, damage, and Big Pat, I thought he was outstanding in his 250th game for the club. So, he definitely showed up and I think that's where the battle was lost.
Cookie, how frustrating is it through this period? Again, you know, the media writing things like, you know, you guys are missing Wayne Bennett, or the decision to let Adam Reynolds go. Like, I know from a player's perspective, when you don't play as well as you like, and you do get beaten, sometimes it's just that. But everyone likes to dig further and make it bigger than what it is. How's the feeling around the group, and how do you deal with that in house, from your coach to, you know, yourself being a senior player, and some of the leaders in the group?
Yeah, to me personally, and I'm sure a few others too, we're just more frustrated of how we're playing. We know we can be a lot better. We're in the same position we were in 2020, where we were the same amount of wins, same amount of losses, and made the prelim. And last year, we had a lot of noise about after we got beat by some big scores against Melbourne and Penrith in the middle of the year and made the grand final. So I think we're pretty good at dealing with that outside sort of noise, and just understand it's only up to us to fix it and worry about what we're doing in between those four walls at Redfern, and just looking for consistency at the moment. I think that's the most important thing. I think with Raiders, they lost a fair few games at the start, started playing with no fear. Next thing you know, they've won a couple in a row and playing with confidence, and it was a very dangerous side to play against. So that's where we are. We just need to get a couple of wins in a row, confidence in our game plan, and get some momentum from that.
Yeah, you're right. In terms of Cookie, you can turn it around, and I think the Raiders have shown that. You know, they were struggling, and they've now won three in a row, and the confidence is back. But the thing that concerns me, mate, is that I reckon you've identified the same thing consistently. So why hasn't it changed? Why haven't you been able to turn it around?
Well, that's probably the frustrating part about it. And I think when in doubt, we've gone back to some old ways, or hoping that our left side can pull something together to score a try. We're getting behind on the scoreboard and panic a little bit, and that's a big one that we in the last couple of years has never been an issue for us. You know, when get a couple of tries down, and we're starting to throw the ball out, throw some offloads we don't need. And that's where we've actually, you know, just if we do let a couple of early tries in, we've just got to regroup, come back together, and get stick to our process and our game plan. And at the moment, there's just a little bit of panic there when we do get scored against, we go out of our game plan. And it only takes a couple of errors, a couple of players to go away from that. And, you know, we can lose our momentum in the game pretty quick.
Yeah, because you've got the worst completion rate in the comp, and you've made more errors than any other teams. And I'm sure you just talk about that every week. And you just can't obviously tuck the ball under your arm either. You've got to play a little bit of footy. But it's just, it's hard, I suppose, when you know what the problem is, but you haven't got the answer for it. Or you have got the answer, but you can't do it.
That's right. I'm definitely confident it'll click and it'll all come together. But, at the moment, can be a little bit frustrating, because I know how hard the team works and what they can do. But at the moment, we can't, worry where we are at the moment. Good thing is, the comp's, quite open. We're seeing some teams get beat by other teams we probably weren't going to expect. So where we're sitting, obviously, still in the eight. And, we're not playing our best footy. And at the moment, mate, the most errors and the worst completion rate is just, we're just working way too hard than we have to. We're doing too much defence, and then on the flip side, we get to the end of the games and we're trying to attack, and you know, the big boys, after doing so much work, we're getting tired. So we're just hurting ourselves at the moment.
Clarkie's Tigers this week. You get Mark Nichols back. Cameron Murray, is he certain to play, Cookie, or how far away is he?
I'll be forcing him to train today, I think. it'd be great to have back both of them. Mark is a very underrated player, I think. Not within our group, but it'd be great to have him back in the side. And if Cam, we don't want to push it, but if we can get him back, obviously we know what he can do in the middle of the field too. So that'd be great as well.
And I guess Indigenous round as well. It brings out a lot in your club in particular.
It does. We've got especially where we are, based at Redfern, massive Indigenous community, and I think. We're just got South Sydney. Just there's so many superstars that have come out of this team, Indigenous background, currently playing. Obviously, Latrell won't be there this weekend, which he'd be pretty devastated about. But the likes of Nathan Merrick, Greg Inglis, now Cody at the moment, Alex Johnson, there's heaps of them, and they set a great example for the younger Indigenous generation. So it's a very proud weekend for us, and yeah, we definitely go out there. It's one that we on the calendar we circle and we look forward to and making sure we put on a good show for them.
Speaking of Latrell, buddy, have you heard how he's travelling overseas and when's he due back?
Oh mate, looked all right. He was outside the White House yesterday, getting a few doing tourists yesterday, so it looked like he's enjoying himself. Which was good to see because he has been putting in a lot of hard work over there with that guy, you know, looking after his hamstring. So they've been working really hard, you know, every day, a couple of sessions a day. So he's looking good, he's feeling good, and he's you know, I think he's enjoying himself, which is important too. So he can come back nice and refreshed and ready to go.
You get through this weekend, and then you've got Origin, Cookie. You must be excited about the series, and it looks as though, you know, without Latrell and Tommy T, a new centres combination for New South Wales, but it's exciting because some young guys are going to get an opportunity.
Yeah, mate, Origin's obviously back around, and it'd be great to have that opportunity again. And, yeah, look, lately there has been some big injuries. Yeah, with Turbo and Latrell, which was so good for New South Wales last year, but... Yeah, you're right. There's been some, especially in that centre position, we've seen some great players playing some great footy at the moment. You know, people talking about, you know, Crichton and Katoni Staggs. You know, they've got playing some really good footy. You know, I can even speak about, you know, Campbell Graham here. He's just, I think he's definitely built for it. He's someone who I look for, you know, in our games every week when we need to get out of trouble. I look for him in those yardage carries. He's strong in defence. He's got such a big carry on him that he's going to give momentum as well. So he's someone I always look forward to get us out of trouble. And no doubt I reckon he'd do that jersey proud as well. But whoever Freddie picks, make sure we just go out there and make sure we win the series again.
And Loz, we've got to give Cookie a rap. The way he chased down your mate Jack White, and they're the effort areas you talk about.
That's what you're looking for as a coach. You want all those areas. And Cookie's been a standout for South Sydney this season. And, you know, all those effort areas you talk about, because it doesn't require skill. It just requires you to turn up with a strong mentality to the game, to do all the little things well and compete. And that's exactly what Cookie's doing. And you look at Cookie's numbers this year, not only with the ball, but, you know, he's made more tackles than any other player in the NRL this season. So obviously he's getting targeted in the middle, but to still have the ability to chase down and stop tries, because stopping tries is just as important as scoring them.
You can bag him again now.
Stop patting me on the
back. Yeah. No, I'll get back to bagging your cookie. Anyway, what do you got today?
I've got race 4, number 2, Wild Chap.
Ah, there you go. That was Adam Pengilly's tip. Wild Chap, race 4, number 2, $2.80.
Jeez, you're struggling when you've got to follow the tipsters now, like, Cookie. You're not picking your own.
I like the, who are you tipping in that race? I like the number 1 as well.
I'm going to go number 4. J-Mac C. Waller.
Kirkby. Okay, so Cookie on Wild Chap, Loz on Kirkby. There you go. Yours is a $4.40 on the second line of betting, Loz.
So I go value.
Oh, please. A Cookie. Thank you, mate.
No worries.
And good luck against the Tigers, and hopefully we see you in Origin Camp. I'm sure we will.
Cheers, guys.
Good luck, Cookie.
Thanks,
mate. See you, mate.
Morning, Roger. How are you?
Good, boys. How are you going?
Very, very well, thank you. Now, take us through Alex de Minaur's epic 5-set defeat this morning against Hugo Gaston.
Yeah, well, it's never. I'll say this is never. It's never fun when you go out there and you spend so much effort in trying to get yourself into winning positions, and then it doesn't happen in the, you know, 5th set tiebreak, a 10-point tiebreak, but. You know, he gave himself a really good shot. When you lead, you know, when you actually get yourself in front, and then you fall 2 sets to 1 behind, then you win the 4th, 6th love. From there, I thought everything looked pretty well set. But there were a few things were questionable throughout the course of the match, which were my concern. Once you go down the stretch, and we're only talking small points, but when you can't deal with your second serve like Alex was struggling to do, you're only winning 39%. And was making quite a few unforced errors throughout the course of the match, making almost 60-59. So, and he created opportunities throughout the match, but probably didn't capitalise on the break points that he had. There were some break points that were taken care of well from his opponent, but in all, there were some really, really clear opportunities for him to take that match, and he didn't do so. So he'd be, I think, quite disappointed. Obviously, he puts everything out there.
Djokovic and Nadal both go straight through, buddy. Look, both look great. Anyone stand out of those two for you? Was your pick still stay?
Yeah, no. What I like about the big boys and on the female side as well is in the Roland Garros so far this year. Well, Novak and Roger and Raf have done this continually throughout the course of their career. They come out in the first round and they make statements early. Yeah. They don't ease their way in and get into some sort of grind. We're seeing Tsitsipas at the moment on court. He's down 2 sets to... He's lost his first 2 opening sets, so he's in trouble. He's one of the guys that you thought would push through and get through deep into the tournament. And let's see if he does. But, you know, they've opened up and taken care of business very, very cleanly, struggled to lose games. And so they set themselves up. And on the women's side, Swiatek, number one seed, former French Open champ, opens up with a 6-2, 6 love win. So when I love it when the big seeds do that early. They get into their stride really quickly, and they set a bit of a marker of what this is going to look like. And Novak, I think, you know, he's here to prove a point because he hasn't played in a major this year. Didn't play in the Aussie Open, so this is his moment. He won Rome. And he was very vocal on courts right throughout the first round match. So he's probably trying to send a little statement about, you know, his Grand Slam venture this fortnight.
Talk us through the Aussies that are playing tonight, Rog. Kubler's game and Ayla Tomljanovic's game.
Yeah, well, Kubler's great. I mean, a great result for him. You know, he's 5'10". He's a Brizzy boy at 29, and he's, you know, got through his first round. He found it fascinating, people asking him for his autograph. And so that, I guess it's a spectrum, you know, the two sides of being an elite athlete, right? The ones that don't sort of get, aren't in the public eye as much, and then there's the ones that are. But he plays Cam Norrie from the UK. Cam Norrie, he's top 10 player in the world, and you wouldn't think it when you watch his game, but he's a lefty who grinds, like the clay courts really suit him. He's 6'2". He grinds the ball. He competes like no other. He's got a really good work ethic. Has he got this wow game that you'd love to watch, you know, day in, day out? No. Kubler's probably got a little bit more flair off the racket, but probably going to be a little bit of a big ask for him in a second round. A lot of energy spent getting through qualifying, winning your first match. He gets a free hit here. Can he do that over 5 sets? I'm probably leaning Norrie. So that's going to be a tough one. Tomljanovic, well, you know, she beats the number 5 seed in the first round. So she's no foreigner to beating top 10 seeds, top 10 players. She's done that on 5 occasions. So for her to beat Kontaveit and now gets a real shot, really, at Barbara Krejcikova. The Russian, who's 71 in the world. You would think now she's a favourite to win that match, and puts her in a good situation. And Seville, Daria Seville, she plays Petra Kvitova, who's been a Grand Slam champion, but not the player she is at the moment. Seville's having her second coming. She feels good. Really like the way she moved on the court. A natural clay court player. She's got a good shot there at beating a seed.
Now, what's going on with Stan Wawrinka, Rog? I don't know if you saw this, but blowing up at the chair umpire because his water was too cold. Is that a new one?
It is. He loves his coffee, Stan, every morning. He loves coffee. Probably, I didn't know about he liked the temperature of his water temperature. He's one of the great guys, Stan. That would just equal frustration, wouldn't it? He's on the way back. He's trying to get back and play, some tennis matches. He hasn't been able to play for over 12 months, almost 18 months. So he's really, really struggled to play any consistent tennis in that time frame. A bit of frustration. Joe Wilfred-Tsonga, a man that I coach, retired today at Roland Garros, he's 37-year-old. What great memories he brought here to Australian tennis. He's one of those players that played with passion, real heart. You loved watching him. He brought you onto the tennis court with his emotions. I think a lot of the French people do. And the other one that was interesting, so that was a big moment for Roland Garros. A lot of the players loved Joe Willey. And Naomi Osaka was an interesting one. I'd ask you guys, she's considering not playing Wimbledon now because she feels like without any ranking points, it feels like an exhibition event for her in her head. So she's thinking she may not go there. What are your thoughts? I mean, if you weren't given match payments, for example, for the Ashes series, would you still want to go to the UK and play?
Depends what part of my career. At the start, definitely. If you've never played an Ashes series. And again, I think it depends on where you're at. Sport now is a business, so you should be paid for the work they're doing, definitely. I think that's not fair. But if you're a youngster, any opportunity to go and play in a series like that, you want to take part. But yeah, you shouldn't be these days. You should not be put in that situation, in my opinion.
Hang on, Rog. No. So they're not. I thought they would only not playing for rankings points at Wimbledon. But are you saying that correct. The prize money's gone?
No. The prize money's there. The ranking points. So the ranking points are quite significant because someone like Novak, who won it last year, those 2,000 points that he earned on his ranking, they get deducted 12 months later. So when Wimbledon comes around at the end of Wimbledon this year, those points are taken away from his ranking. He's trying to stay as the number one player in the world, and he has no chance to recoup any points in that 12 months. So therefore, with someone like Novak, it's got a big effect. It can also affect some of the other players who might have had really good a fortnight at Wimbledon, who relied on those 300 or 400 points or 150 points. You know, that could have a shift to their ranking of, 40 or 50 positions, depending on where they sit in the top 100 players in the world or just outside. So it's not the money. The money's all there. Wimbledon, they're not moving any of the money. So it's just the points they're removing. So, that's in conjunction, in collaboration with the UK government, I think, and the way they're setting up around this situation that we're seeing at the moment with Russia and the Ukraine.
Thank you so much, Rog. We will check in on Friday.
See you, boys. Have a good day.
JR's NBA multi is open this morning as well, and it's in its usual spot there under Sport and Today's Offers on the Tab app and website, and she tipped us into a winner around $6, I think it was, last week as well. Well, today it's $5.50. Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals tipping off at 11 a.m. this morning our time. Golden State to win, Klay Thompson to have 3 or more 3-pointers, and Thompson and Luka Doncic, the Mavericks superstar, to combine for 50-plus points. $5.50 to make it 2 in a row, JR. Now, we're going to speak to Swan Will Haywood shortly, just on the text line. With the 6 p.m. kickoff on Friday night at Penrith, Royce walks into the stadium just after 5 p.m. So make sure everyone gets there early to clap and cheer the great man Royce Simmons, on his lap of honour. Thanks for telling us that, Willow from Windsor. Of course, Royce's big walk continuing today. Adam Pengilly joining the walk today. We had him on earlier. What about this one? Hi, boys. That young Parramatta supporter, and that was Luke who called earlier, will have trouble locating Laurie Daly's statue at Canberra Stadium on Sunday, as ground staff have placed 2 covers over the statue after Laurie tipped Cronulla good things to beat the Raiders back in Magic Round. P.S. The second cover was required to cover his nose. Cheers, Peter in Canberra.
Thanks for your support, Pete. That is a possibility, Bitter. I don't want my statue getting wet. I don't want it being trounced by people getting there and doing naughty things to my statue.
Well, does that happen, does it?
Oh, yeah. People always want to have a bit of fun with me.
Mates, when they go to it, do they sort of do something bad to it and send you a picture? Or do you get that sort of stuff going on?
Not all the time. They have probably done in the past, yeah. I'll tell you when they used to. Send me photos. When I was coaching, might have been the first year at State of Origin, there was these big cardboard-sized photos of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could only imagine what they did to those.
Yeah. I used to draw on them and do different things and send me photos. Yeah.
Disrespectful.
Very disrespectful. It's like drawing on the currency. You're not allowed to do it. You shouldn't be allowed to do it.
Illegal,
yeah.
Can't sign money. Here's one for you. In any country.
No, you not can't.
Can't sign money, no.
Should be allowed. Not allowed on posters either.
Posters play cardboard on. Statues cutouts. Play on. Yeah. Money, not allowed.
Anyway, that's what happens when you've got a group of friends... Alleged friends. Why acquaintances. Mean friends?
They're acquaintances. They go from friends to acquaintances.
It's a weird setup, isn't it, when your friends just give it to you.
It would be strange in this country for blokes to compliment each other.
Yeah, very true. It's,
but other countries, you do.
Oh, they look at
hold
us
hands.
Like,
walk down the street holding hands in India.
It's like, you know, it's just, you've got to be sort of happy and engaging and complimentary. And whereas in Australia, the fullback position is just to have a crack at your mate. Yeah, just
smash
abuse.
Him.
Even if he's doing the right thing, you just have a go at
find
him.
A way to give him some stick.
Bring him back down to earth.
Would you want it any differently?
No, I enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't
bit
think
of banter. Because I love giving it back too.
Time to talk Swans. Big game Friday night. Richmond at the SCG and Will Haywood coming up next. Morning, Will. How are you?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, really well, thanks. In fact, first things first, how's that seltzer going that you and Ollie Florence started? What's it called again? Doozy?
Doozy, yeah. No, it's going well. He actually sent a few cases to the studio yesterday, so they should be there this week for you guys.
Oh, brilliant.
Because you drink seltzers, don't you?
Mm.
You and Stanley.
Mm. I do.
Mm.
Competition for me, though.
Oh, competition.
Yeah, I'm with Bevmart. We've got our own.
Ah.
But I'll still like to try.
Take him on, Will. Take him on.
Will, I like to try your product. I'll give it a go.
Tell him why yours is better.
Yeah, I'm all for sampling. Mm. It's the only way you learn. It's the only way you get better.
Yeah, that was our favourite process as well.
Mm. You can buy him out, Clark.
I can't buy anyone out. I'm just here to promote Will's football and seltzer.
Oh, it's great stuff. Looking forward to having some doozy. There you go, Loz. Something
good
new
name.
For the fridge.
Who came up with the name?
It was actually my brother. He's involved in it as well. So my brother Harry does a lot of the behind the work stuff for doozy. So
yeah,
he's
like are they made here?
What's that, sorry?
All produced here?
Yeah, in Goulburn.
Yeah, great. Oh, fantastic, mate. Exciting. Hope it does well.
Yeah, thank you very much. Been a bit of fun.
Yeah, I bet.
All right, well, keep an eye out for it anyway. Doozy. Particularly good seltzers when, you know, you've had a few beers, Loz, and
good
you're just feeling a bit...
Great day drink. It's a great day drink, I reckon.
Particularly
easy
in summer,
drink.
And you just need... You just
well,
need...
What I've noticed with those drinks is a lot of younger people drink
it. Oh, yeah.
So a lot of my young bloke, my daughters, they are into it.
Yeah, and easy to take somewhere as well, right?
Yeah.
Like you go back in your day, you go somewhere, you take a case of beers. Youngsters now, you take a case of those easy.
Mm-hmm. And a big week for you. Is this your 100th game this Friday night, Will?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, against Richmond this Friday, so looking forward to it.
And personally, 15 goals this season, you must be... happy with your output and how you're fitting into that forward line with Buddy as well?
Yeah, it's good. I've pretty much played there my whole career now. So, you know, really sort of played with the same sort of forward six since I've been at the club. So to work with, Tom Papley, Isaac Heaney, Bud, and, you know, start of the game, it's been awesome.
Tough loss the other night, mate. But, again, there must have been plenty of positives that come out of it for you boys.
Yeah, it was. It was a weird one. Like, you know, we won three quarters.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, letting that lapse of in the second quarter carry on to I think they kicked 8 or 9 goals, which is, you know, just makes it really hard to come back from. So just trying to nullify those lapses we have and play consistent four quarter footy.
What about your discipline, Will? Because we always know Swans is a, you know, contested side, they go in hard, and you know discipline is always strong. But I'm looking at your numbers here. You gave away 23 kicks in the first half.
Yeah, it's definitely something that we've spoken about, and we're going to be a lot more red hot on it at training. So I think it's, you know, the free kicks have been given away like nothing at the moment. So we need to adapt. We need to learn quicker. And that's definitely something that's let us down in the first few games.
And you know, it's been a tough month. You've lost three of your past four, but the loss of Josh Kennedy, mentally, that's got to be a bit of a hit to the squad this week as well.
Yeah, it is. We've got a lot of depth, and we'll get another inside mid that'll come in and play that role. But Joe, so he'll come. He'll sit on the bench, and he'll still. Lead he's got massive influence over the group, obviously. So, he'll still be just as influential on game day, no doubt.
Mm. How have you assessed the season so far, Will?
Yeah, we obviously got off to a good start. and you know, losing the last three of the last four is, you know, a little, you know, slow down momentum a little bit. But as I mentioned before, we've won a lot of quarters of footy. If you look at it, I think we're fifth for quarters won. So it's really, we sort of know what we need to do. We just need to nullify the lapses we have in games. And, you know, there's no doubt teams are going to get run-ons, but it's just about slowing those down and controlling them a bit better.
What are you expecting from Richmond, Will? Because, you know, they're not the powerhouse they were, but in saying that, they're starting to hit some form.
Yeah, they are. They're looking really good at the moment. They've got a, you know, they've got stars all over the field. So whether that's their big boys up front or their guns inside as well. So it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be red hot on a Friday night. So, we're expecting a high-pressure game, and that's what we're preparing for.
Two superstars, and, you know, they play different positions, Buddy and Dustin Martin. But, I mean, when you watched and you would have analysed Dustin Martin over a long period of time, Will, what's his strengths and how do you shut down a guy like him?
Yeah, he's just so powerful. You know, he explodes out of stoppages and then, you know, he's composed enough to hit a perfect kick. So, he's definitely a hard player to shut down. But, you know, our midfielders, you know, we back our boys every day of the week to get the job done. So we'll just wait and see what they dish up. But our boys should be able to get it done in there.
And being the 100th, you got the family coming. Oh, you're an Adelaide boy initially, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I've got the family coming up, which should be good. It's always good to get them up here and show them a nicer side of Australia.
What about the Demons, mate? They won the competition last year and they undefeated this year. Have you watched much of them play? And you know, when you look at them and you think, oh, geez, they're just a very, very good football team. How's anyone going to stop them? But, you know, when you see a standout team like that, and I know you can't look too much forward, you've got to just worry about what you're concentrating on this weekend and who you're playing. But when you see a side like Melbourne go about it, what do you sit back and think?
Yeah, they're obviously on absolute fire at the moment, but I think for them, they value such little things, and that's, you know, they're always celebrating little one percenters, you know, selfless plays, and they look like they're just building a really good culture there. So that's something that, you know, we've tried to do over a long period of time. The blood cultures, you know, the contested footy, rewarding everything, and it's always about honing in on those little one percenters, you know, helping your teammate up, rewarding everything, and you know, the good stuff comes on the back of that. The scoreboard will come off the back of that, and yeah, that's what I think they've been able to do really well. They've obviously got some key players that play key roles for them, but I think they're just building a really good culture at the moment.
Well, Will, congrats on the 100th. Hope it's a successful one. And we got a text here, Mitch from Robertson, saying he's got a busload of 30 heading up the highway to watch Will play. And he reckons, 25 of them Swan supporters, but he's not one of them. But he hope, and he goes on to say, just this week, I hope you have a shocker, mate, says Mitch from Robertson. Gee, thanks well, for love, the support, Mitch.
Love his honesty.
Appreciate it, Mitch.
Well, mate, hope it's a great 100th for you, though, Will.
Thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate it.
Will Haywood there from the Swans. Keep an eye out for Doozy Seltzers as well. And the Swans $1.55. Richmond $2.45. Should be a cracking night. The Marne Group game there at the SCG. The Swans and the Tigers. Quick break. Brad Davidson's coming up next. The Speed Series action continues on Stan Sport, the new destination for motorsport. It's Australia's fastest growing motorsport series, featuring the Touring Car Racing Series, S5000, the fastest cars in the country, GT World Challenge, from Lamborghinis to Audis, and the V8 muscle cars in Trans Am. Watch this weekend's action from the Sydney Motorsport Park, ad-free, live and on demand, on the home of Speed Series, Stan Sport. Start your 7-day free sport trial today at stan.com.au/sport. And, of course, the Champions League final will be on Stan as well this weekend, Liverpool and Real Madrid. Clarkey, make sure you are up early
Sunday morning. With my Real Madrid shirt on,
please.
And celebrating hard when they win 2-1.
Okay, we'll move on to racing now after that comment. Brad Davidson, morning to you.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. In this national broodmare sale and away game topped it. What'd she go for again?
$4 million. Yeah, there was a few big prices there yesterday. 3.1 for Tefano, but $4 million for away game. The top of there, and I believe what she made $3.7 million on the track. So $4 million in the Rubens sale, not bad for the owners there. But look, in the Kingsford Smith Cup this weekend, I believe. So get to see her go around there. But yeah, $4 million at the sales yesterday. So a lot of mares going for $1 million plus, obviously. That sale, and no doubt we'll look forward to seeing what they produce in the breeding barn in many years to come.
I see a Centivise is going to return to spring after running second in the Melbourne Cup last year, Davo.
Yeah, Loz, the word is that the horse is basically coming back into training and looking towards, I think, the Maccabi Diva Stakes first up, and then likely to head to a Turnbull and potentially a Cox Plate in the Melbourne Cup. So obviously a lot of water to go to the bridge between now and getting back to the races from that leg issue last year, but we haven't seen him since the last spring, and obviously he was an exciting machine, no doubt about that, before he injured himself there in the cup. So can't wait to see him back, and fingers crossed everything goes well in the next month or two. But it comes around quickly, doesn't it, the spring? It's, you know, we're not even in winter yet. We're talking about these horses coming back for the spring already. They do take a couple of months to get up and going and incentivised. Looking forward to seeing him back.
Yeah, that's great news, particularly after the unfortunate news we got with Hitotsu this week, which hopefully, which is certainly out for the spring and career in jeopardy as it stands. But to have incentivised a star, well, it was an emerging star, let's face it, back this spring's a good sign. Now, today's racing, well, we're looking ahead to Saturday at Randwick too, heavy 10, no shock there as it stands at the moment. And we're on a heavy track at Canterbury today as well.
Yeah, I spoke to Greg Carmody yesterday and you know, obviously, I think they copped about 35 mil in the last 24 hours to yesterday morning. And he was pretty confident we'd be good today, just obviously on a heavy 10. So should be all okay. And, you know, the fields have held up okay, to be honest. So just on her top two guys as well, Kieran Maher there yesterday suggesting that pretty confident the horse will get back to racing, but obviously will miss the spring and he might see him back in the autumn. So, you know, good news there in terms of the long-term prognosis for Ototsu, and hopefully we'll see him back next year.
Any tips, mate?
Yeah, I've got a couple there, one at Canterbury and one at Sale today. Race 5, number 8, Crosstalk resumes for the Waterhouse and Bot Yard today at Canterbury. Just has to cross Prince Aurelius there, who does have a bit of speed inside, particularly if the track is playing fence and run. But look, his trials have been outstanding. He's shown plenty of promise in his career to date, his former New Zealander. And the way he's trialling, and he's handled wet tracks before, he does look hard to beat there. Race 5, number 8 at Canterbury. And probably the standout one for me today, race 8, number 6 at Sale here for a good time. This mare's had no luck whatsoever her past two starts in Victoria. She's just been held up the entire straight two back and then only got out 300 metres from home the other day and chased hard and took some ground off our Ravine late, who's, of course, a subsequent Saturday Sydney winner. So like the way she's going, she steps up in trip, she's drawn to settle close to today, and I think she'll be hard to beat late in the piece at good each-way odds around the $5.50 mark.
Yeah, good price, $5.50. Race 8, number 6, here for a good time at Sale, and Crosstalk, race 5, number 8, Canterbury, $1.95, favourite with Tab. Thank you so much, Brad.
Thanks, guys. Talk tomorrow. Cheers.
And thanks, Brad Davidson there. On the text line here as well, we spoke to Cookie earlier. We got Dean Bulldog Richie after 8 o'clock this morning. What about this one? Hey, boys, Cookie cost me $5,000 on the weekend. Jack White, an anytime try scorer, was the last leg of my multi. Loz, please throw rocks at him. Cheers, boys. Great show as always. The Bat sending that one through. That would hurt.
Hopefully he scores this weekend, big Jackie boy.
That would
secures his position in the Origin team, hey?
Secures.
Right. Ooh. Yeah.
Secures.
He'll be there. He'll be there as 14.
Going to be interesting.
That'll wind him up again this morning.
Going to be
plenty
interesting.
Plenty of text messages will come in again daily. You've got no idea. Sticking up for your son.
Nico Hines. Mm. Nico Hines. He's playing good footy, Loz.
I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that. I think Nico's a very, very good player. Mm. And whoever they go with will
do a job.
It's
your beef with the Sharks, though, again. That's why you won't go, Nico. You got this personal vendetta against the Sharks. I understand that.
Yeah, you know what it's like.
by the way, we had Brendan earlier from North Queensland texting in. And he's on the family road trip. Mm. So he's pulling a caravan. They're halfway through, nearly ready to turn the corner. They're through Dubbo, Broken Hill, into South Australia, up through Ayers Rock and surrounds and on the way home. Listen most mornings and says, love the banter and knowledge on the show the majority of the time. And gives Blocker a big rap as well. Good on you, Brendan. Heading towards the Penrith Cowboys game. Got tickets for the family there. This week, big Cowboys fans on a road trip. How would you go on a road trip, Loz, with your family just through the middle of Australia?
We go okay.
Go all right on that?
Go okay, yeah. Because that's my sort of chill time in a car. The kids like to have a talk, but then they put their headsets on and do whatever. Mm, Michelle likes to chill out with a bit of music. So, no, I don't mind travelling because...
Wouldn't be narky.
No, not in the car. No. We all know our lane when we get in the car.
Not National Lampoons.
No.